Yep, it's good to be in church. Are you happy to be here today? Feel good? I'm excited to be here. If you're new here, if you've never been here before, you're not alone. There's lots of new people that we're seeing every week showing up into here. But just so you know, I'm Evan. I'm the lead pastor here, and we've got a pastoral team that is here as well, and we love working with you. This guy with the mustache is one of those. Hey, does anyone love Pastor Allen's mustache these days? Oh, that's the real deal. I love it. Yeah, Bernine's not here for that poll. We'll have to ask her afterwards how she feels about it. We all serve together and we love this church. If I wasn't working here, I would still love this church and want to be here with you all. But this church also has tons of volunteers and people serving. You would have bumped into lots of people on your way in here that just wanted to welcome you and greet you, because we want you to have an incredible experience showing up to church. The church is not just Sunday morning. We feel like God has called us to be involved in the city. God has called us to be growing in our faith every day of the week. But showing up to church, services Sunday morning, we want it to be an incredible time for you. And so maybe you want to join team, maybe you want to be part of small group. We just want you to know that we're so glad you're here, but there's more too. We'd love for you to be involved in the more with us, as we really believe God is pushing us towards greater and more. Does anyone feel like we're just sort of on the cusp of something as a church? Anyone feel like that a little bit? It just feels like something is happening. I'm meeting people all the time that are just learning about our church or learning about Jesus for the first time. And it feels exciting. I don't think if you looked at the news, that's what they would portray. That's not what you'd see. But there's a whole lot of hope in my heart for what Jesus is doing in the Comox Valley here right now, in this city, in this church, with people's lives. People who are far from Jesus are coming closer. People who've been walking with him are finding new life, and it's a good season that we're in. Hey, that was a tight. All right, we're cruising our second week of a series called True Grit. And the whole concept of this series is that I really believe that it's time that Christians gain a little bit of grit in their faith, a little bit that their faith would gain a little bit of teeth, of sort of some feistiness, some fight in it. And that might look different than what you might originally think. But last week we talked a little bit about what that would look like, and we said out of a scripture from Romans 5, that we really believe that our trials are going to lead to us suffering and working through them, but they're going to produce perseverance. And perseverance is going to lead to character, and character to hope. And so I just want to read that scripture to you as we crack into the second week here. Romans 5:1-4. I'm going to do all four of them this time. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. We boast in the hope of the glory of God. We boast in the eternal, the long-term, the fullness of the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. The end goal of this series is that as we as Christians decide to have some grit as we deal with our suffering or deal with our trials or deal with our challenges, that will produce character in us, and that out of that character, hope will be seen in us. That people will look at us and say, "Wow, there's something different about you. You must have some hope within you. You must have something good within you. There must be something there that is good." And today I want to talk about the idea that if we're trying to spread this hope, we want people to see this hope in us. How do we deal with life when we feel like what we hoped would happen has not yet happened? Or what we hoped would be experiencing, we're not actually experiencing. What we hoped life would be like, we're not actually seeing it that way right now. We're not actually feeling it that way right now. Kendall and I came back yesterday from Victoria. We went down to Victoria for a wedding. It was awesome. We got to go to a wedding of some students that we've been investing years into their lives. And we were coming back on Saturday, and our kids, I'll just tell you, driving with kids in the van is not a nice experience. It's just not nice. It's just not nice. Someone said, sure it is. They've maybe, I don't know. I wish I was more like you. But my driving down to Victoria, I mean, Hardy starts saying, I don't know why he would say this, but he goes, oh, Dad, what nation are we in? Like, he's trying to figure out how far we've gone. What nation are we in? I'm like, for a long time, Canada. It's a long time. In fact, all the way to Victoria and back. Still Canada. But then he'd say, you know, what village are we in? I'm like, I don't, okay, sure, that's a weird way of saying it. What movies are you watching, son? Like, I don't know what's going on. But he goes, Dad, what village are we in now? And I'm like, Hardy, we haven't even got off our street, son. It's going to be a long trip with you. I mean, we're literally driving down our road. Okay, sounds good. What village now? Like, Somebody quiet that boy down, please. I need it. I need it right now. And so our kids are just—it's just a joy traveling with them. We're gonna look back on these days, and we're gonna wish we had them again, or at least that's what people tell us. Right now, though, I don't know. I'm not sure about that. Anyways, on the way back, our kids, right before we've even left Victoria, our kids said, Mom, Dad, hey, can we play games on your phones right away? First, like right when we get in the car, we've hardly even started, and can we play games on your phones? They've got this hope to come and play games on our phones. They want to do this. This will make them happy. They know this will be the thing that will solve all of their problems and make them feel good and make this trip go by fast. So can we play games on your phones? And Kendall says, not until we get to Nanaimo. And I'm thinking, I've got some hope in myself, actually. Like, give them the phones. Give them an iPad. Throw a TV back there. I don't care. Just do something. Like, give it to them. We need it. And I'm like, Nanaimo, are you sure you want to do that to us? But Kendall says, not till after Nanaimo. Hardy doesn't even have any idea where Nanaimo is. But still, he goes, he starts crying instantly. His hope is just crushed. Like, everything that he hoped for in that moment is gone. When kids, like they don't know how to hope for big things. They hope for small things that become big things. And they're hoping for, he's hoping for this thing. This is all I want. And we have to put it off. And we're trying to train him and teach him. We put it off and say, you can do that later, but not yet. What do we do when what we hope for isn't there for us? When we have to wait, when it's pushed off, or we're not even sure if ever what we're hoping for is going to happen. There's a proverb in the Bible. It's Proverbs 13:12 says, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. Hardy's heart got sick in that moment. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. What do we do? How do we persevere when it feels like everything that we hoped for is not here yet, or maybe never going to come? What do we do with that? Maybe within our marriages. I hoped that I would feel a certain way by this point. I hoped that this marriage would work out. I hoped that we wouldn't get the 7-year itch. You know, I hoped that we would be able to carry on this way. But it doesn't feel like our hopes are coming into fulfillment. Or in college, maybe. I remember third year university, I felt like I sure hoped I'd feel different about getting my degree by this point. I think I hoped that excitement would go up, not down. But by partway through, I'm like, man, 2 years has taken a long time. At the beginning, you're like, 4 years? No problem. I'll plow through that. I will whip through. And then I'm like 4 years in, and I've only done like 2 years of school. And so by that point, I'm like, oh, man, 2 years, which could turn into like 10 more years or who knows how long. Anyways, you start to feel like, I thought I would be excited about this. I hoped that I would feel good about this, and I just don't anymore. our heart starts to get a little bit sick. Maybe the hope for you is about a relationship that you don't yet have. The hope for you is about kids that haven't come yet. Maybe the hope for you is about graduating, and you haven't graduated, and you feel like you're just suffering through, and hope deferred is making your heart sick. And some of us, maybe we hoped that marriage would solve all of our problems. We got married, and it seems like our problems got worse or bigger, or we hoped that if we got that raise or we got that job or we got that different position within the company or we did that thing that it would all be good, and it just hasn't gotten there. Maybe you started a job years ago and you feel like you started really excited and passionate and you say, I could do this my whole life, and a few months or years later, it sort of feels like it just plateaus. What do you do in those moments? Or it feels like you've just sort of landed and hope is not there. The what you hoped for is not there. What you hoped you'd feel, you're not experiencing. What you hoped you'd be walking into, what you'd hoped it would look like by this point in your life, is just not there. How do we handle those situations? One of the things that I hoped for, to be honest, I hoped my sermon in the first service went better than it did. Just being real with you. I hoped that I would be able to piece it together. I feel like I didn't. I feel like I, honestly, you're in the second. Congratulations. If the first, I don't know about that. But I felt like I just couldn't get it together. I couldn't pull it all together. I couldn't get where I wanted to get. And I hoped that I would. Every week, I hope that I'm able to give a sermon where people are excited, a sermon where people would be inspired and go out from here and feel like, yes, God is on my side, and I'm going in the right direction. And in the first service, what I hoped for didn't happen. My dreams for it didn't happen as far as what I was capable of doing. I want you to know that in those moments, I feel so, so thankful that my hope, though I hope for certain things, my hope is not found in those things. That I'm not stuck hopeless if my sermon doesn't go as well as I wish it did. That I'm not stuck hopeless if my marriage isn't going as well as I wish it did. That I'm not stuck hopeless if my job is not going as well as I wish it did. And it's because we can hope for things, but I want to talk to you about what you put your hope in instead of what you hope for. Because we hope for a life that looks this way and that way and this way and that way and this way and that way. And when we hope for it and we don't get it, we're just so disappointed. Our heart gets sick and we feel like we don't have anywhere to go. But how do we then transfer our hope and put it in something, put it in somewhere, place it in a place where it's safe for us so that we will always have hope that even when the things we're hoping for don't happen the way we wish, we still have hope to persevere. Even when the mountain of excitement turns into a plateau of blah in life, we still have hope to walk through that. We still have hope that there's something good, that something is moving us. What is it that allows us to do that? It's not placing our hope in our marriages or our money or our career or an outcome or a sermon or church. It's placing our hope in Christ, who has eternal hope for us. That transcends all of our issues and challenges and difficulties in life. There's a couple stories I want to share about that in a couple minutes. But before we do, I just want to share with you a little chunk of scriptures from Hebrews 6, 10 to 12, written by likely Paul, who we talked about last week and who wrote the original part there that we said, suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, character, hope. Here he's talking again. He says, God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help them. He says, God's not unjust. He doesn't forget what you're doing. He knows you're doing great things. He knows you're accomplishing some things. He knows you're loving people. You're taking care of people. You're looking after people. He knows that as you do those things, you're doing them unto him. And maybe Paul is at this point talking to people who are kind of feeling like they're losing hope in that journey. Anyone know if you live your life trying to help people, eventually you're going to be disappointed somewhere along the way? You're going to feel like you it's harder to maintain hope. It's hard to continue to believe. You can start to feel like you're flatlining, or maybe even you're digging into a valley. It's not a mountaintop of excitement anymore, but it's a valley of trudging through lives and issues and challenges and people and messiness and history and pasts and all of that stuff. It can be heavy sometimes. And here Paul is saying, hey, God knows what you're doing. God knows how you're taking care of people. In verse 11, he says, we want each of you to show this same diligence. It says, what you have been doing, we want you to show the same diligence until the very end. How do we do that? Imagine Paul saying that. Imagine they're coming to him. I don't know why he's writing. Is he coming? Have they come to him and said, Paul, we're so tired. Oh, this is hard. We've been working hard. We've done a lot. We've done quite a few nice things for nice people. Time for me to take time for myself. Like, I need to go and sort myself out. And the writer of Hebrews here, Paul, he says, no, wait a second. All that stuff you've done, God does it. It's not gone unseen. God sees it. God knows what you're capable of. God knows how you invest in your family that's falling apart. God knows how you invest in your spouse that doesn't seem to appreciate it. God knows how you invest in those people who never turn around and say thank you to you. God knows how you invest. God knows what you're doing in those things. You feel like you're just bored of doing that. You feel like you're just settled. It's not really doing much. God knows what you're doing. Not only that, but he actually wants you to keep doing it with the same level of diligence, with the same passion, with the same push until the very end. Until the very end. Says, I want you to have grit in this one. You're going to feel like you're not making a difference anymore. Have some grit. You're going to feel like no one's appreciating it. Have some grit. You're going to feel like people are not seeing what you're doing and you're not moving your life forward anymore. Have some grit. Because your hope is not in people. Your hope is in me. Your hope is in God. Your hope is in the one who has an eternal hope. An eternal plan and an eternal reward for you. And he says, here comes Paul, we do not want you to become lazy. Burn. I don't know if I'd ever write that to you as a church. Hey, don't be lazy. He says, do not become lazy. And so then when I think of laziness, I think Paul's going to tell us, okay, what does that look like? In fact, he is about to describe what will it look like to not be lazy with your grit and with your diligence and with your resilience and with your push through and perseverance. What does it look like to keep going and keep moving? And so I think don't be lazy, instead work harder. Don't be lazy, instead plow forward or push on or grab some arms of some other people and blast through and do all that. No, here's how he describes not being lazy, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what is promised. Faith and patience. Those words don't sound very gritty to me. I don't know about you. I just feel like they're kind of like faith and patience. It doesn't feel like faith. You know, no one ever says, it's time for me to rise up in patience. Who's with me? Patient people. Like, you don't hear anyone talking like that. Wouldn't sound very bold and brave and courageous. And yet that is the grit required to follow through and believe in the hope that God has for you. That is the grit that's required. It's the waiting. It's the letting it happen. So faith is an interesting one. Because as I was thinking about hope and faith this week and trying to bat this around and trying to figure this out with God, I kept thinking, like, hope can easily turn fluffy on us, can't it? We start with this hope. I've got a hope to see the Comox Valley changed. Yeah, I've got a hope that is going to happen. And we've got this idea of an expectation that would take place. I've got a hope that all homeless would be taken care of. I've got a hope that all orphans would find homes. I've got a hope that anyone who's walking through broken marriages would find restoration. I've got a hope, whatever it might be. And you rise up, and it's like a mountaintop experience, and you're standing up there hitting your flag into the ground saying, this is where I'm going. a week, month, year, a few years down the road, people say, hey, you still really believing that those people could, that could actually happen for them? I hope so, you know? Well, I hope that could happen. It's not looking good, but I hope so. I hope we could see that. Hope can start to become a little bit flaky, and the problem is that we put our hope in these temporal things, these circumstantial things, where our hope is connected to people or to outcomes or to what could happen. And so then our heart gets sick and we start losing hope for this thing. But what would it look like instead if our hope was in Jesus? Where we deal with that thing and we stand on the same mountain in excitement and say, Jesus, my hope is for you. And I know somewhere down the road, you are going to change these things. And I believe that you are going to reach the people that need to be reached, to care for them, to restore them. You have a hope. You have a plan for the addicted. You have a plan for the broken. You have a plan for the lost and the lonely. You have a plan for the depressed. And I'm going to stick my flag in it. I'm going to push forward. I'm going to believe for it. And I have hope in you, Jesus. I believe in your plan. I believe in your purpose. And then the inevitable happens again. And you head on down into the valley off the mountaintop, or you head on onto a plateau and it sort of all feels meh. And we're not then looking around and saying, where's the mountaintop gone? Where's the peak? Where's the result? Where's the answer to my hope? Instead, we keep trudging along through the plateau or through the valley and we say, I still have the same hope that I started with, because it wasn't based on what I see happening. It was based on the one who can make it happen. It's just based on Jesus. It's just based on him and his power and his life. So faith is our willingness to keep our hope in Christ. Whatever you can hope for a number of different things. But faith is the tool that puts the hope and sticks it to Jesus. I have faith in Jesus, and so I will put my hope there. I have faith in who he is. I have faith in his decision-making. I have faith in his plans. I have faith in what he wants to do here. And so, since I have faith in him, I'm not going to let my hope move to everywhere else. I'm going to put my hope there, and that will be what faith looks like for me. We put faith in the things that we think will deliver on our hope. I sure hope my marriage works out, and so I have faith that my husband will one day be way better than he is right now. You know? I have hope that I will have a good job, and so I have faith in that boss who's going to become much nicer than they currently are. What if instead I have faith in you, Jesus, and so in the midst of this, even though I hope for a different situation, I will walk through this until the end if I need to. Diligent until the end if I need to. Persevere until the end if I need to. Resilient until the end if I need to. One of the biggest challenges in our culture right now is the need for the next big, purposeful, great thing to be a part of. Because people don't find purpose in Jesus anymore in our culture, but we can't be that way. If you believe in Jesus, your purpose comes from him, and that means you can do jobs and duties and tasks that seem purposeless because you have all purpose in him. So when you hit a plateau and it feels like you're not going anywhere, where everyone else is scrambling to find the next big thing of purpose, and they're quitting their jobs, and they're quitting their families, and they're finding the next great wife or husband, and they're quitting everything so that they can go and take advantage of whatever the next thing is out there. The Christian is able to say, you know what, I'm not trusting that mountain to fulfill me. I'm not trusting that mountain for purpose for me. I'm not trusting the next big thing or a different spouse or a different job. I'm trusting Jesus, who I stood and said, I trust on the mountain, I will trust in the valley, and I will trust on the plateau. Even when it gets boring and seems mundane, I'm going to believe for his purpose, and that is perseverance. Amen. And his hope, yeah. His hope for your life. Yeah. I really believe perseverance is patience till promise. Because here he says that is what faith is, but then he says the other thing to laziness, the other antonym to laziness is patience. What does patience lead to? It says, patience to inherit what has been promised. You know what's interesting about an inheritance? It has to be given and received, not taken. God's greatest work in your life, God's greatest things in your life are not going to be things that you can take from him and snatch out of his hands. They're going to be things that you can wait for and he can give you. Patience is trust. Patience is perseverance. Perseverance isn't about doing all of the hardest things and trying to get through. Perseverance is saying, I will trust you, God, even if it seems like not much is happening. I will wait, and I will wait, and I will wait, and I will wait. And if you're not going to change it yet, I will wait some more, because I'm not waiting to take hold of something from you. I'm waiting to receive an inheritance, to receive a gift from you, to receive whatever you have. For me, patience is part of perseverance, and something we're missing in this culture today. It's something we don't really have. We think we got to move to the next thing, and waiting and standing still must mean we're failing, must mean we're not accomplishing as much as we're supposed to. But that only works if we think the only people that are going to accomplish things on this planet are us and not God. But if we think God's going to accomplish something in this world, then we are okay waiting on his good gift, which accomplishes more than any of us can on our own anyways. We wait for his plan. We wait for his purpose. We wait for his promise. We stand and we just say, I'm going to trudge through this plateau. I'm going to trudge through this boring time in my life. Your marriage is in rough spot and think, this isn't what I hoped for. This isn't exciting as I wanted, but I'm going to walk this through because someone needs the hope that we are discovering in this time. And that hope is connected to Jesus. It's not connected to my marriage or my husband or my wife, is connected to him alone, and I will find hope in him even when this is a mess. And I'll keep walking. Until when? Well, he says, till the very end. Because at the very end, he said, so that what you may hope for will be realized. It's not until the very end that what you hope for will be realized. Well, why would we invest in something that makes us sick? You know that proverb that says hope deferred makes us sick, makes our heart sick? So why would we keep putting our hope in things that are just going to make us sicker and sicker? Why not instead just invest our hope in one place and allow it to be the place that at the very end all hope will be restored, and I can trust that at that point it will happen, and until that point it doesn't need to. Two stories, really quick. One happened last week. We have a friend in the first service. His name is Don. Don has been fighting a disease for several years, and he's a solid Christian guy. He knows the Bible, knows the Word, seen miracles, prayed in big ways, and he comes to church every week. He actually leads a small group here at our church. And last week he came up to me after the service. He's in a wheelchair. He can't walk on his own. He came up to me after the service and he said, Pastor, I've always asked why. I'm okay. I'm believing in God. I'm trusting in God. I'm believing that he's got something for me, but I've always asked why. He said, this week, I'm done asking why. I now know that if my suffering is going to produce perseverance, and my perseverance character, and my character, someone is going to see hope, then it was all worth it, because my hope is in Christ. My hope is in eternity. My hope isn't in this moment. What are you? As a pastor, that was mind-blowing for me. I'm like, what? You sure? You know? Because that sounds pretty intense. You're sick. Not everyone else is sick. Not everyone else is struggling along. Not everyone else is facing this. It is unfair. It's not fair that you're there and no one and some other people aren't around you. It's not fair that you've lived your life for Jesus as best you can and you're still walking through this. Shouldn't life with Jesus mean that you're healthy? Shouldn't life with Jesus mean that you've got it all figured out and you've got money and you've got everything that you need? Shouldn't that be what life is with Jesus is all about? And he has found out the truth that that's not what life with Jesus is all about. Life with Jesus is all about eternal life with Jesus and knowing that whatever life here on this planet can throw at us, whatever it is, we can still hold on to hope because this planet doesn't give us our hope. God does. And so he says, I'm walking and I'm not questioning. I'm not asking anymore. I'm good. in this wheelchair. Until when? Until the very end, if I need to. Until the very end, if I need to. Worship team, you can come and join me. The next story I have came in the first service today. There's a nurse in our first service. She's been to church twice. And something is happening in her heart. So she's a nurse. She worked with another nurse for years. And that nurse ended up getting sick, terminally ill, ALS. And that nurse all of a sudden couldn't speak, but she could communicate by moving her eyes and looking at things. And that's how they would speak to her. And so she retired from nursing. She got sick. And then all of a sudden, all the nurses that used to be coworkers are now caring for her. So they're walking along with her in this journey. And this nurse who now can't speak only with her eyes as she looks at letters, she starts speaking to them through that method about her healing. Healing. It keeps coming up. Her healing. And so they go and they sort of chat with each other and try to figure this out. And like, who's going to tell her? Someone needs to talk to her about this. She's obviously not really grasped what she's facing. She's obviously not really understanding what she's going through. So someone needs to let her know that this is terminal. She's not coming out of this, that she will die because of this. Someone needs to go and speak that. And it ended up being this nurse that was here today who was on the docket to go and do that. And so she goes in and sits with this woman, her old coworker and friend, who's now terminally ill. And she tells her all this stuff about this, all the stuff that she already knew about this disease, about what she was facing, about what was going on, and finally got to the place saying, "You will not live. You will die because of this. This disease will kill you. You will not be healed." And so they sit down with this challenging conversation. The person in the nurse who's now sick, listening, just listens intently, carefully. And then she starts speaking through her method. She says, "I've been praying for my healing. And God said, I will be healed when I die. When I die, I will be well. I will know my healing. I will experience my healing. I will know what it is to walk. I will know what it is to celebrate. I will know again what it is to sing and speak out. Not in this life, but in eternity." Wow. It just felt like one of those moments for me. This nurse is coming to church now, trying to sort that out in her life now. How does someone have that kind of hope? This woman, this nurse who got sick, she considered it joy when she faced trials of all kinds because she knew that those trials and those sufferings would produce in her perseverance. And she knew that that perseverance would turn to character. And she knew that that character would turn to hope for someone who was watching on in the situation. Well, the very nurse that went in to tell her that she was not going to get up and be healed from this is now sitting in church. Well, that nurse, or the other one, has died and is dancing in the street on her good legs, on her healthy body, in her fullness. She is healed, and now because of that, hope has been spread around. Perseverance, character, hope. Come on. We need this, church. We need this kind of grit in our lives. It's time we stop chasing around the next mountaintop and the next high and the next experience and the next thing that gives us purpose. And we need to start grabbing the hope that is within us and stop putting it on all of these temporary things, hoping that maybe once I get that money, once I have that relationship, once everything is restored, once my kids start listening to me, once my body is healthy, once I'm happy with myself, once I learn that thing, once I get through college, once I get my license, once I do that, then I will be good. Those things are all temporary. You can have hope deferred in all of those things. You can be sick in heart in all of those things. But there's one thing that you can place your hope in and will never let you down, because it promises that once you have walked all the way till the end, all the way till the end of life, when you've persevered and been resilient and focused and given your life and believed and cared and not given up, at the end of it all, you will know the fulfillment of the hope that you believed in for your life, Jesus Christ. And he will give you life. He will restore you. Your brokenness will be restored. You will never question the hope again. We need that kind of grit. Grit as Christians isn't about fighting the politics. It's not about fighting our government. It's not about putting up a fight against all of this other stuff. It's not even about fighting for morality, fighting for all that. Grit in our Christian lives is about fighting and clinging to the hope, forcing our hope to sit in Jesus rather than anywhere else. And as long as we're faithful in that and patient in that, we will inherit the life. We will receive what we're supposed to receive from Jesus. Today, I'm assuming there's some people here who haven't received that. And though we will know the fulfillment of that hope at the end of it, you can start to know that hope now. You can start to know that life now. You can start to turn your hope from all of these things over to Jesus now. And we exist to help you do that. We exist so that you can do that, and you can start to walk in that way. I don't want you to walk through life putting your hope in a whole bunch of things that will disappoint you and cause your heart to become sick. I want you to know the hope that goes beyond all circumstances, all situations, all challenges. I want you to know the hope that is Jesus Christ, that not only will last for this life, but in fact will become fulfilled when this life is over, and you know the fullness of hope in Jesus Christ at the end of that. Would you all bow your heads and close your eyes? Today, if you're here and you say, that is me, I need to know that hope in my life. My hope has gone everywhere else but to him, and I need to know that hope. I need to know the joy that he gives. I need to know that I can walk through this life expecting and knowing that as I push for him, even when my circumstances are hard, even when things are difficult, even when everyone around me questions it, even in all of those times, that when I look to him, I can know that my life will have fulfillment at the end, not right now, but at the end. You might not see it along the journey, but at the end, God will say to you, hope restored, life restored, health restored, all of your bodily strength restored, and now life begins. If you want that hope that carries you through this life, that is Jesus Christ, would you just raise your hand so I can see you? God bless you. God bless you, and you, and you, and you, and you. God bless. God bless. God bless you, and you. Is there anyone up there? God bless you. Yes, and you. God bless you. Is there anyone else? Anyone else that says, that's me, I want to pray for you? Is there anyone else that says, that's me, I need that? Yeah, God bless you in the back, and you, and you, and you. God bless you. God bless you. Lord, thank you so much. Thank you so much that you give us hope, Lord. You don't give us hope that rides the waves of life. You don't give us hope that it gets stuck when our marriage isn't great, or when our relationships aren't happening, or when our money isn't working out the way we thought it was, or our health, Lord. You give us hope that transcends our money, our job, our marriage, our health, all things in life. And so, Lord, I thank you for these raised hands who say, I want that hope. I want to know it. I want to live by it. I want to know the hope that doesn't disappoint. I want to know the hope that gives me strength. I want to know the hope that leads me into eternity and starts right now. Jesus, thank you for the decisions made today. I pray, Lord, that you would bless them, that your spirit would confirm them, and Lord, today people would rise up in hope. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone who believes it gives a big shout to Jesus. Come on. Thank you, Lord. Why don't we all stand up together? God is doing a good work. He's grabbing hold of hearts that people are going to know the hope of Jesus. And when they do, they'll know suffering. When they do, they'll know perseverance. Then they'll know character. And the whole city is going to know the hope that Jesus has, because Christians are standing and saying, I'm willing to walk it. I'm willing to live it. I'm willing to fight through for the sake of you. I'm willing. God bless you this week. If you raised your hand, we'd love to get to know you. Fill out a Connect card. Get it to the info desk. We'll give you a call. We'd love to pray with you, spend some time with you, connect you in a small group. Have a great week. We love you.